Welcome back to the Roundtable. In this essay, Jeanne Hunter remembers her friend, American novelist, naturalist, wilderness writer, and CIA agent, Peter Matheson, who passed away in April of this year.
The recent demise of writer and naturalist Peter Matheson brought many laudatory tributes. Mine is a personal one. Having absorbed his superb writing on subjects both fictional and reportorial, I consider him one of the great writers of our time. His big books on nature and wildlife are brilliantly and delicately observed. Many times I have read his sentences several times over to gather every detail and nuance. Peter's wife Maria has been a friend since the early 60s. We lived in the same Upper East Side apartment house until she left Manhattan with her two baby daughters and moved to Bridgehampton, Long Island. It was on a beach there one sunny morning that we saw a tall, slim man approaching, wearing a hat with Viva La Cosa on the brim. He sat with us on the empty beach and told us he was just returned from supporting activist Cesar Chavez in a statewide California strike of migrant lettuce workers. This was one of many humanitarian stands he took throughout his life. He had refused to pay income tax for the duration of the Vietnam War. He spent years writing and speaking out in attempting to have Native American Leonard Peltier freed. He wrote an impassioned book on that subject entitled In the Spirit of Crazy Horse. His concern for the Himalayan snow leopard's extinction, he researched for months in the mountains, and the award-winning book was The Snow Leopard, describing that trip as a spiritual journey which led to his study of Buddhism. He became a Zen master and opened a meditation center at his home where everyone interested could go early in the morning to partake of that serene space. He mapped out an area of his large property, a Zen hedged garden with few plants, big boulders, and gravel paths. One day I arrived early, and on finding no one home, with Peter in his writing house, never to be disturbed, I wandered into the Zen garden and noticed some weeds among the gravel. I was plucking them out one by one when Maria arrived and called out to me in consternation, "Stop! Those are a Zen exercise for the students." I carefully replanted the weeds and confessed my act to Peter at dinner. He was amused, which was a great relief to me. In a book of valued letters, I have a note from him with condolences on the death of my father and thanking me for a box of Florida grapefruit, saying the odd mix of subjects made sense in Zen thinking. Peter and Maria spent part of their honeymoon with me and my husband on Miami Beach. While there, I asked Peter to write an article for the Miami Herald on the Miccosukee tribe, who lived in the Everglades on small islands known as hammocks. When, after the Indian Wars, the federal government had distributed tribes across the country, 50 members of the Miccosukee fled into the glades and have never signed a peace treaty. They are mostly left alone and carry on their traditions, making colorful patchwork clothing and weaving and other crafts. We telephoned to a contact of the chief, and it was arranged for Peter to meet him halfway along the Tamiami Trail, about 40 miles out of Miami. Peter drove there and no one showed, so after 2 hours he came back. The next night he went again with the same result. On the third night he arrived at the originally appointed hour and the chief was waiting. He explained that he wanted to see how serious Peter was, and the resulting 4-page illustrated article was widely appreciated for its sensitive view of a mysterious and exotic tribe. I learned that Peter had had a privileged upbringing in Manhattan, going to private schools and on to Yale. He had known Jacqueline Kennedy in his boyhood when she was Jackie Bouvier. When I spent 6 weeks in the Matheson house during the summer of 1976 while they were on an extensive safari in Africa, I took many phone messages for their return, including one from a seemingly irritated Mrs. Kennedy on being unable to reach Peter. And that summer was an eventful time in the Hamptons. Alone in the house after a Force 5 hurricane hit and waiting for the storm to end, I was upstairs with two dogs and fearing flooding from the nearby salt pond. Every ancient Dutch elm tree in the main street of East Hampton was toppled, and next day each one was righted by a town crew, so important were they to the image of the village. Peter had spent several years living in Paris, where he and his friend George Plimpton launched a magazine of the arts, the Paris Review, which exists to this day. And at that time, he was inducted by the CIA to gather intelligence in Parisian diplomatic circles, an assignment he deplored. His extensive knowledge and love of birds might have come from his father, Maddy Matheson, who organized a bird sanctuary in Florida called Ding Darling of Captiva. We met Matty when we drove over with Peter and Maria shortly after Peter's mother had been killed in a horrifying accident when a huge truck rounded a corner and crashed into her car as she was pulling out of her driveway. Matty took us out in his boat with two eager Norwich Terriers at the bow, and we went walking through woods where every bird call was identified with details. On another occasion, when the couple were staying with us, I invited writer Isaac Bashevis Singer and his wife Alma for tea. Peter and Isaac seemed initially shy, but were soon in an exuberant conversation over Earl Grey tea and coconut cake. Isaac, recent winner of the Nobel Prize for Literature, and Peter, a New York library icon and winner of the National Book Award, knew of each other's work and enjoyed the occasion. Among his many friends in the literary circle thriving in the Hamptons were William Styron, Kurt Vonnegut, E.L. Doctorow, and others, including many artists. Peter's final book, In Paradise, was published in the week following his death to rapt reviews. A writer friend of mine rushed to buy the book and extolled the writing, pointing out that the subject was so very different from all his previous work. A fitting finale to a brilliant career. It was a jolt 2 days after his passing to wake at 5 a.m., turn on the television to PBS, and hear Peter's so familiar voice in a repeat interview with Charlie Rose, coming across with the same warmth and humor as when he sat across the table at one of Maria's wondrous meals. It's with a sharp pang of regret that I never summoned the courage to tell him how very much his writing meant to me.
Jeannie Hunter lives in Catskill, New York. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.